Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomé River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, people, we got to go right back because we got a long ways to go and a short time to get there, very little time. Before we go back to our great co-host, a great guest, I'm going to throw out a kudos to Tim Knowles, who's the commander, the League of the South commander in Arkansas. And I believe he told me he helps with part of Missouri. I was so honored they invited me to come up to Western Arkansas for a float trip that the League of the South's having. Dr. Hill's up there and some other people. The head honcho for the League of the South, I think in Oklahoma's there. A lot of other people. I just could not go. I don't want to sound sacrilegious or anything, but I don't like to spend a dime on anything that's leisure. Every nickel we get goes into Blood River Radio. I mean, I eat, sleep, and breathe it. But please pray for them. That's the reason I brought this up, because Dr. Hill has, it's been my knowledge, him and his whole family has been under some pretty serious threats. And this isn't just your run-of-the-mill, you know, some teenager sending them a letter, but they've been under some serious threats from you-know-who, from our enemy. And with that, I'm going to go back to Gene right quick, like. And I'm going to tell people probably what Trump could do, and Gene nailed it when he said that what we have a complete traitorous mutiny going on at the Pentagon. Not probably the rank and file, like Gene mentioned, the company grade officers on down the enlisted, but these people have turned. They're traitors. They disobeyed the commander in chief. Love him or hate him, President Trump is the president of the United States. And what long time ago, when our evil people that the Archbishop mentioned, the Satanists, the Luciferians that are running the country, indeed running the world, they saw in 1913 they need to get rid of the militia. And people, if you run from that word militia, I'm not going to read it. What you need to do, you need to go to the United States Constitution, go to Article 1, Section 8. It's about Clause 14. Read that, what it says about the militia. You see, if we had a true militia like they had like 100 years ago, my grandfather was in Arkansas State Militia, bragged about it. He didn't talk about the United States military. He was in the state militia protecting his people. But if we had that, all Trump would have to do was federalize the militia and tell them to come up there and arrest those stinking traitors in the Pentagon. Gene, am I right or wrong, my brother?
Absolutely. They're part of the deep state, and they were furious when Trump got elected, because he won't play ball with the typical Washington politicians. And he goes in there and said what he was going to do and has attempted to try to carry out what he promised in his campaigns. And it's driving the prostitutes in the media and the chronic Washington, D.C. People, the career politicians, it's driving them absolutely crazy. And they're going to do anything they can to get him out of office or derail this election coming up in November. They tried Russiagate. That didn't work. They tried impeachment. That didn't work. They tried the Corona beer virus hoax, and that didn't work. And they tried tanking the economy and saying everybody had to leave work and stay home. The economy's coming back. And now they've got these riots by these barbarians out here in the streets to try to disrupt the country and destroy businesses, and say that it's too dangerous for people to go out and to polling places. We're going to have paper ballots for the election, absentee ballots. Well, they can print off a million ballots for a district that's only got 25 people in it, and I'll guarantee you those million ballots are not going to vote for Trump. So if you look at it, the overall picture, this is a whole nother setup with the riots and the demonstrations and the tearing down the monuments and the history and everything. It's another attempt by the communists, the leftists, the liberals, the Antifas, whatever you want to call them, this coalition of parasites that we have in this country, and the general called them right, fifth columnists within our country, to derail the election this fall. And that's what they're shooting for.
You know, Gene, before we go back to the general, I was so excited when the Archbishop Carlos Vigano of Italy mentioned exactly what you said. He covered those points. He said that, you know, talked to, you know, Satanists, children of the darkness, whatever. He talked about that. They're everywhere. You know, you name your institution. You can't even go to a running club here in Memphis without they want you to run and appraise this black that was supposedly killed up here in Minneapolis, St. Paul. What they forget to tell you is that black was a convicted felon. He had broken into a house, committed home invasion, went into a pregnant lady's house and stuck a gun in her belly and could have killed her. We don't mention that. But, you know, General, you're probably may or not be aware of General Carlos Vigano, but I would think that you probably heard of another wonderful Catholic priest who left the order, so to speak. I don't exactly know how he did. His name was Father Malachi Martin. He wrote a book called Windswept House, Hostage to the Devil. And he talked about every single thing. Well, not everything, but he talked about a lot of the things that the Archbishop talked about. He even said that in the deep church, in the Vatican itself, that there was a black mass in the bowels in the bottom of the Vatican. And he said that they did at the same time. There's a big church. He didn't name it for, I guess, for security's sake. I believe it was in South Carolina. They had a sacrifice to the devil there. They had this couple that, you know, donated their child to be sacrificed. That goes on. If you don't believe that goes on, go and read. The Senator John DeCount's book of the Franklin cover-up. Correct. Thank you, Brenda, for the Franklin cover-up. But anyway, General, how strong is the Catholic Church there? And I know that eastern part of Europe probably heavily Catholic. How strong is the Church, and are they trying to resist this evil in any way, General? I know you described some pretty drops, some pretty. Go ahead.
They're dismayed with the Pope. This Pope. It's not traditional Catholicism. They strayed off the beaten path, and I think that in America, even you had Saul Alinsky, the guy that wrote the Rules for Radicals. He adopted some of his path, and I think he had in the congressional committee a woman called Elizabeth Dodd. She testified that 1,000 communists had infiltrated the Catholic Church. But we see this today. You know, they ask for unlimited immigration. But it's basically based on that liberation doctrine that was perpetrated by the communist regimes in South America, Nicaragua, and so on and so forth. So the traditional Croatian Catholics are dismayed with what's happening, because we're seeing here, we're still sort of an enclave here. We decided here we had a referendum that a natural family is a man and a woman. Not a man and a man, and we won the battle there temporarily, but now there's an assault, not just an assault on Western civilization. Basically, what we're seeing worldwide is we're seeing this ideological aberration, this Bolshevik Satanism that had its roots in the French Revolution, taking over Western civilization.
General, we got to go to another break. Hold that thought. This show is going all too fast. We'll be right back, people. Hold on. We're not going anywhere.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian Brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
This is Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more while listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Well, people, I let that music play just a little bit. I like it. I picked it out, and it's one of the greatest songs of this past century, if you ask me. Great music. But anyway, what we were talking about, you know, Sam says it's a Nazi tune, and I'll reiterate that. Yes, it was a Nazi tune. But you know what? The Nazis were and still are better than anything we have in the federal or the state house in this country right here. The Democrats and the Republicans were just straight up Luciferian, Satan worship. I mean, child sex trafficking, drug dealers. I mean, their corruption, compared to the Pacific Ocean, the corruption there would be as deep as the Mariana Trench. Well, I think that's about 7 to 9 miles deep. But I'd like to mention one more thing about, almost forgot, the fellow Tim Knowles I was telling you about in Arkansas, he kind of wanted me to pass on what happened up there. I think about it last week. Get this. That part of Arkansas is probably 95% white. You got it? It's out. It's a nice sized town for that part of Arkansas, but it's nothing to compare with Little Rock, Fort Smith, or not even nowhere near Memphis, but it's mostly white. But they bust these cucks, these white self-hating Antifa in, and what few blacks they could get, they were threatening to come in there and burn the city down because they have a constitutional sheriff who is right-thinking. He's on the side of us, you know, us white people. You know, he is he's a Christian. The chief of police there is the same. But they're going to be outmanned. So, to the everlasting credit of the League of the South, Tim Knowles and his guys got together, and they were heavily armed, and they patrolled that city 24 hours straight. They had 24-hour shifts, and not one fire was started. He told me they came up to, I'll get off this right quick, but I just want to give those people credit. These people take action. Where I sit here and talk behind this microphone, those people go out in the street. They go out in the and they put their lives on the line. And although they have a constitutional sheriff and a constitutional chief of police, what they don't have, and I told him, you have to be really careful if you do have to, if gunplay comes in, even if you're defending yourself, because you have a Luciferian federal government that's going to come down on you very hard, and they'll make up some kind of crime to convict you. But, you know, I'm a member of the League of the South. I think Gene probably is still, too. What do you, yes, have you heard anything about that? What do you think about that, Gene?
I haven't heard of that, but people all over the country are going to have to start doing that if they want to protect their property, their homes, their businesses. They're going to have to defend it themselves, because the police may want to, but these sorry lowlifes that we have for governors and mayors in the country are telling the police to stand down and not do anything and let the terrorists run the streets. And I don't see how in the world we're going to survive unless the people take up arms and defend themselves. That the military has turned against us. They're traitors. They have gone against their oath of office, and they took an oath when they joined the military, and especially as an officer, to defend this country against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. And we have domestic enemies tearing down our cities and tearing down our streets and businesses and everything, and the militaries do it even though they're ordered by the president. Then they turn around and disobey the orders of the president to bring the military in to bring back order to our cities. And they're defying the president, the commander-in-chief. So it's hard to say that the United States is run by a bunch of, the United States military is run by a bunch of traitors, but what else can you call them?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Gene. You know, and these people, like you said, Gene, they are traitors. And what's the hypocrisy of it is, when they will hang somebody like Lieutenant Callie, I know Gene knows who I'm talking about, Lieutenant Callie in Vietnam, who supposedly got convicted, you know, I don't know what his prison sentence was, of going in and murdering and looting a bunch of innocent Vietnamese during the heat of battle in the Vietnam War. They roasted him, you know, they roasted him. But if you get some non-com, some Spec 5, or some lieutenant, and they think he might disobey his order, well, he's going to get court-martialed. Well, what about somebody's going to have to bring these clowns to justice? You know, a caller, a brother, I'm not going to mention his name, he told me that the time is coming where people are going to have to draw a line in the sand, and you're going to have to say, he said, you're going to have to decide, are you going to allow yourself to be arrested and thrown into a gulag and tortured to death? Or are you going to stand and fight for what's right? Are you going to go ahead and be arrested by a Luciferian, satanic, out of control criminal cabal? Or are you going to defend yourself? And there's ways to do that. So what do you think about that, General? I mean, where's our line in the sand, General?
Well, I think somewhere we had this similar scenario here. The first phase was that the army disarmed the militia units. I think I mentioned that before, but I think I'd like to underline that. And once they took all the heavy weaponry, they disarmed the militia units, and then they started, basically, it was a coup d'etat. So we ended up fighting it. We fought in the beginning with hunting rifles, but then we started taking over arms caches. The barracks, we put barracks were under siege. We encircled the barracks, and that's what we eventually armed ourselves. And by 1995, after 3 years of war, we had about 11 guards brigades and other militia. We call them Gamelbrand units. But we're also under assault here. They're trying to ban our war cry, which was in the war. It had a genesis in the Second World War, where Croatians fought alongside German army units. And actually, people don't know this, but one of the only non-German army unit to enter Stalingrad was the Croatian 369th Reinforced Regiment. We also had four pieces, but none of this is known in the West. Not to bore you too much with Croatian military history, but not in the 6 months, the last battle fought in the Second World War, against communists was the Croatian fighters fighting in the Posavina region. Berlin fell in 8th May, I believe, 1945, and people still fought on here for 1 month. This is totally unknown in the West, and I think we're on the same side, but I think we have similar problems. We have this fifth column, for example, that's funded by people like George Soros, who has abundant funds. He has frontmen, and he's pushing his agenda and other. This is this cabal we're speaking about here that's taken over our, not just the political, but the cultural arena, which is important to know. So we must know who these people are. But I think what you see in the United States, this is orchestrated. This is orchestrated by one of the cabal, I think, who owns 50% of the investment banks in the United States. Basically, I think it's a rhetorical question.
Absolutely. You know, General, you can never bore anybody on Blood River Radio by talking about Croatian military history. I'd love to hear more of it. You know, let me ask you this quick question before we go back to Gene. Were there any of, I know some of the fiercest fighters, I've studied that. I've looked up stuff in preparation for past shows, but some of the fiercest fighters, some of the bravest, some of the toughest, the smartest, most aggressive military units in the world, in Europe, were well known. Maybe not so much here in the United States, but there to be Croatian. They were greatly feared. That's true. And like the general said, for 400 years, he fought the Turks, fought the Muslims, you know. He most certainly did. Do you know, before we go to Gene, were any of those groups, were any of them like volunteers, say, for instance, the 1st Waffen SS Panzer Division or maybe the Viking Division? Well, let's go to a break, General. Hold on to that thought. People, we got to go to another break. We'll be right back.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
President Donald Trump delivered the commencement address to graduating cadets at the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. The president decided to appear at the graduation ceremony as students are returning after the school is closed over concerns about the coronavirus.
Thank you, General. And hello, cadets. On behalf of our entire nation, let me say congratulations to the incredible West Point class of 2020. Congratulations. Everyone, we are here to celebrate your achievements, and great achievements they are.
The president's speech focused on congratulating the graduates and honoring the United States Army, which was established 245 years ago. The president briefly addressed the coronavirus pandemic, saying the virus came to our shores from a distant land called China. He also praised the cadets for choosing to join the armed forces. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allen Root. Are you in need of a healthcare program? You're in luck. As a member of Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community that comes together to share their medical expenses. You can sign up throughout the year with membership starting as early as the following month. There are no contracts, no commitments. There is no network, so you choose your own doctors and hospitals. Starting as low as $199 per month, Liberty HealthShare has programs for singles, couples, and families of any size. I joined. I'm a member. My 4 children are members. Liberty has saved me $72,000 compared to what I was paying for health insurance over these 4 years. Liberty HealthShare is a non-profit ministry. It is not insurance. Your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who come together to bear one another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY, 855-58-LIBERTY, or go to libertyhealthshare.org/WayneRoot. libertyhealthshare.org/WayneRoot.
U.S. immigration officials at the southern border carried out more than 20,000 expulsions of migrants last month as unauthorized border crossings increased by the thousands despite strict U.S. coronavirus restrictions and lockdowns in Mexico and Central America. Customs and Border Protection officials at the U.S.-Mexican border encountered more than 23,000 unauthorized migrants and swiftly expelled over 20,000 of them under an emergency directive by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. The CDC director, which has been extended indefinitely, has given the Trump administration the power to rapidly remove most border crossers from U.S. soil. President Trump has moved his campaign rally that was originally scheduled for June 19th in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to the following day. The rally's original date sparked criticism because June 19th, otherwise known as Juneteenth, marks the day that slavery ended in the U.S. The president tweeted he rescheduled the rally on the advice of a number of African-American friends and supporters. This is USA Radio News.
Well, people, we're right back. We were talking about, before we went to the break, we were talking about the brave soldiers in Europe. You know, I'm going to name just a few. You can call me a Nazi if you want to. I don't care, but I am a Nazi at heart because I know that I know all the lies that were told about the Nazis. I really do. It's been said that he who wins the war writes the history. But some of the people I've always admired that were in the German army, and you know, a lot of some of the best units in the Waffen SS. Waffen means I know the general knows more than I do about this. It was the arms bearing part of the SS was probably Sepp Dietrich, Kurt Meyer, Heinz Guderian. He wasn't in the SS, but he was considered a genius of armored warfare. And who could ever forget Michael Whitman, who was a young guy, and he was a Tiger Panzer tank ace, if I remember right. And who has never heard of Gert von Rundstedt, the genius? But Gene, going back to you now, I guess I'll shift gears a little bit. We were talking about in the last show, and it's still pertinent now because we have talking about how President Trump has been undermined. Indeed, his life was probably threatened. I wouldn't doubt it. In fact, I predicted, sadly, that, put it this way, I wouldn't be surprised within a month to 6 weeks, if things get worse, that he would resign, step down to keep from being assassinated. Because then that meeting we mentioned, I think we talked about it last week, on the 5th of June, when Trump came out, and you know, President Trump, I'll kind of give a little summary of what we talked about in the past. President Trump had called in the 82nd Airborne into Washington D.C. in armed National Guardsmen, not to break the any type of posse comitatus act, but to specifically to guard the White House because it was in the face of a 1 million man march coming to Washington D.C., and we all know how most of these marches and these protests get totally out of hand, a.k.a. Charlottesville, where Gene and I both were there, and some of our other brothers. But that's what they were feared of. But they were in the mutiny of the Pentagon, in this Mark Esper, defense secretary in the Pentagon, ordered them back. I mean, that's almost attempted murder. I think they were trying to get the president killed. Another thing, Gene, I know you remember this. I'm going to shut up and go to you. It probably reminded him of when President Nixon was in office and the secretary, James Schlesinger, the defense secretary there, told the Pentagon not to take any more orders from Nixon, that they would hit any orders they received, the next opponent would have to come from him. And I know I'm repeating myself a little bit, but some of you people probably didn't listen to the show last week. John Fitzgerald Kennedy. I was in, I was in school when he was assassinated. I'll still remember that day. And Gene, you know more about this than I do, I'm sure. And probably the general knows about this too, even though it was a United States thing. You know, he was heavily involved in this Bay of Pigs things. He was recoiling from that. They accused him, the Pentagon, of recalling the fighters, the jet fighters, when the CIA was trying to land at the Bay of Pigs. You know, he didn't like the CIA. He promised he was going to bust the CIA into 1,000 pieces. He wanted to get us out of Vietnam. And they assassinated him. Gene, do you think, and I know I'm asking you to get a crystal ball, but do you think that the President Trump was thinking of any of those things when he didn't fight these Defense Secretary Esper's countermanding his orders.
I think that's a great possibility. You look at down through history how things have happened. Reagan lost all of his conservative drive after they attempted to kill him and compromised time after time with the Democrats and wouldn't stand up and fight them. I think they've told a lot of these people, you don't go along with us, we can have you taken out. And I don't care how many Secret Service you have around here, you don't know if the Secret Service is on your side. And it happened with Kennedy. It happened with George Wallace. When it looked like George Wallace may get the nomination and not run as a third party candidate, but as a Democratic candidate for president, they had an attempt on his life. And so I was very surprised. I'll be honest to admit this. I was very surprised that Mr. Trump didn't get an assassination attempt on him after it looked like he was going to win the Republican nomination. And I just thought that every day we would wake up and hear that presidential candidate Donald Trump had been assassinated in some place, somewhere in the country, and because of the deep state. And that's what he talked about, and stopping that and bringing the rule of law and order back to the people of this country and not have this country run by the oligarchy. So I'm very much surprised that he's lived as long as he has.
You're not the only one, Gene. And, you know, years ago when we used to be at the Bean Field with James, the political cesspool, when I used to be a co-host there, we used to have a fella come on. You've probably heard of him. He was Lieutenant Colonel James Bo Greitz.
Yep.
He was a very highly decorated Green Beret officer. He was just walked into, didn't have a whole lot of education. But the guy was bright, from Oklahoma, walked in the recruiting office and went up the ladder real fast. But then he started seeing just what all was going on, just what we're talking about. And so he got out. But he told us, and before I go back to the general, here's what he said. You mentioned Reagan's assassination. He told us that the Secret Service man is the one that shot Reagan. He said he shot him with this high-tech air pistol, and he said the Colonel Wright said that he had carried these air pistols before. You know, he had top secret clearance. He could carry. He was authorized to carry transport suitcase nukes. A lot of people probably never heard of the suitcase nukes, but these nuclear bombs. That's another rabbit trail that won't go down. But he had top secret clearance, and he actually saw the pellets that was fired into Reagan. He said what happened was, when this was at Hinckley that fired at him, James Hinckley, the guy that fired, I forget this guy's name, the nutcase they got out of the asylum to put him up as a patsy to shoot at Reagan, when the Secret Service agent drove the president, Reagan, back into the car, that's when the Secret Service agent shot him. And from then on, they said Reagan was a different man, because they said, we got to let you know what's going on here, boy. You think you're the president? You think you got power? No way, Jose. General, do you know of anything in that vein of the JFK assassination that's happened in your lifetime in Croatia?
Well, we had, during this last war, we always have parallels in history as far as assassinations are concerned. But I think what I see here in the United States, of course, this is only a superficial view because I'm not in country, but we had people trying to usurp the military. We formed an army. It seems like you have a stovepipe command system. We had one system. If somebody tried to usurp it, these people were killed, basically, because we were fighting for biological survival. It's a harsh thing to say, but some people try to form private units that did not. The mission was, we were fighting the Muslims on one side and the JNE on the other side, and these people, they try to form private armies, and they were taken care of. But I don't know how to compare this. It's a different scenario, but I think unless you have unity of command, Gene is a soldier. He knows that you're both soldiers. I think it's difficult for me to understand how the military which is sworn to defend, as you said, against the domestic and outward enemies, how it has failed, it has not risen to the challenge. I don't understand how this can happen, how they can let a group of genetic anarchists and anti-FARC cretins it's difficult for us to understand this, but most Croatians are on the side of the president. Most Croatians that I know, apart from the small group of these former communists and shills in Fifth Column that's funded by George Soros here. We also have this.
Yes, sir. George Soros, he has scattered his, I'll say, spiritual feces all over the globe. You know, Gene, you're an ex-Marine. I bet you remember, I'm going to say probably back in the late 70s, early 80s, there was this thing called 29 Palms, California. I don't know. I wasn't a Marine. I think this is a training base.
Yeah,
29 Palms,
Marine
California.
Training base out in the desert there. And at 29 Palms, the Marines referred to it as 29 Stumps. But, yeah, that was a training base out in the desert for desert warfare.
Well, I was going to see if you, and this kind of relates to our story, too, because this mutiny we've seen in the white, you know, against President Trump, didn't just come overnight. Now, it's my understanding there were people, there comes another break, doggone it. We got to go to another break, people. We'll be right back. And I hope I don't forget to ask Gene about the 29 Palm survey they gave Marines. In case I forget that, Gene, I'm old. Remind me when we come back to the break. Yeah. People will be right back.
Our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ had been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, if there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people, unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, people, we're right back, and I was in the middle of asking Gene a question. You know, at 29 Palms, California, I was trying to pull it up a little bit before I ran out of time because my memory's kind of vague, but what I could get was, and this is, I think is pertinent what we're talking about, because we said this mutiny didn't just happen overnight. There was a survey. Supposedly, it was passed out in 1995, by a Navy lieutenant commander. And I'm going to read this whole thing, but the gist that he was, the survey was, they were getting around to finding which Marines would and which Marines would not agree to take orders from the United Nations. If they were given orders from the United Nations, countermanding orders of the President of the United States, would they follow orders from the UN? And the question that scared the bejesus out of a lot of people was, would these Marines shoot American citizens that did not turn in their firearms, that refused to turn in their firearms? And I didn't get a chance to read the rest of the article, but the alarming number of them said yes, they would if their immediate superior told them to do that. Gene, I don't know if you were familiar with that survey or not.
I had heard something about that at one time, and I think it's even brought home even more grotesquely today. I went last spring a year ago, to a reunion of our Marine Officers Basic School class up at the Marine Base at Quantico, Virginia. And the thing I observed up there is most of the young lieutenants, where they get their officer basic school training, were either white or they had a few blacks in there in the officer corps. But most of the enlisted men on the Marine base there, I would say probably 80% were Hispanic. And it seems like that's what the military is trying to do, bring in all these illegal aliens and promise them U.S. citizenship if they'll serve in the United States military, and get the military taken over by people who have no concept of our Constitution and would have no qualms about turning their weapons on American citizens, especially white conservatives, if they were ordered to do so. A lot of us that would have been in the military, if we'd gotten that order, we would have really questioned that and maybe even turned our weapons on whoever was giving us that order. But these people have no ties to the United States other than they get three hots and a cot from the military. So they're going to do whatever they tell them to do, whether it's constitutionally legal or not. And I think that's a part of this plan of undercutting the government of this country, the duly elected president of this country, and the shadow government in big business, in the media, and now in the military, that is going to be operating outside the constitutional laws of this country.
Gene, you nailed it. You answered that question before. That was my next question, was going to ask you. I'm going to ask the general the same thing in just a minute. I was going to ask you, have you noticed the number of non-whites, foreigners that are in the U.S. military, all branches? I noticed here in Memphis, just about, you know, we have a naval base here in Memphis, Billington. I don't think it's very active anymore. A few Marines coming and going, but a lot of the military personnel you see when you go downtown, when they're touring the restaurants and stuff like that, and I question them. These foreigners, they're like, they look at it like as a job. It's just a nice, high paying job compared to the crap hole country that they've come from. And yes, Gene, you nailed it. They have zero allegiance to the United States. They have especially zero allegiance to white. The South, and they would. I have no doubt in my mind they would. Not only would they obey the order, I think they would obey the order gleefully and execute white Southern Southerners. General, you may not be aware right now because you're probably not still active in the military. Does that same scenario being played out in Croatia and the surrounding European nations that you're aware of? Are they still have basically a vast, predominantly civilian? What am I trying to say? People, in other words, people in the Croatian army, are they still predominantly Croatian? Or are they getting dark people in from North Africa?
Yeah.
Go ahead, General.
You don't see any brown or black people here because Croatia is basically a white enclave. But it's so ironic, as your Marine said here in the studio, that I believe the Marine Corps hymn, isn't it, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli?
And yes, sir.
You were fighting the Mexicans in 1848, I believe, and here they are now, back in the Marine Corps dress. I think it's ironic. But I think, just to backtrack a bit, we should remember that 900,000 Europeans fought in the Waffen SS, 900,000. And the last unit to surrender in Berlin was the Charlemagne Division. They were French. And wow. their Frenchmen ended up shooting them, I think. So I think we have to form an anti-Bolshevik front, basically, if Western civilization is going to survive.
I'm glad you brought that fact up, because, you know, a lot. I'm certainly not a military historian, but I've read enough. And you're absolutely right, General. What I've read must have been right, because seconded that. A lot of the best, matter of fact, a lot of the best SS units, they said, not only were they from Croatia, but a lot of the SS units members, they came in from the Netherlands. The Dutch were highly, highly prized.
If I could just add, Eddie, I had a platoon of foreigners. They were Croatian army guys. But we had a Viking platoon. We had a Viking on their shoulder pass. They were Scandinavians. I had an American soldier, Bob McKenzie, who was wounded in Vietnam, fought in the Rhodesian SAS, and eventually ended up getting killed in Sierra Leone. I had also had Americans. One fellow, Fred Verduin, God bless his soul, he was part of the honor guard at Arlington. So I had people from 82nd Airborne who were fighting the Muslims here, the Mujahideen. So hats off to your warriors, and I think that... They did a great job. I mean, some of the battles that were fought on mountainous terrain, you could hear Arab, English, French, because, you know, as soon as an action started, we never had the sophisticated communications equipment that 10 minutes into a firefight, they'd break into our radio nets. So I think it was first time in history that we had people cursing in four languages.
I'm telling you. Well, you know what? That brings me to, like, not a comical side rabbit trail, but I know Gene, being the former Marine, will know what I'm going to talk about. You talked about cursing in four different languages, and the foreigners and the enemy breaking into your radio net, etc. I know good and well that Gene will know all about these. I think, was it the Navajo Indians, Gene, that they used in the Pacific to... Tell us a little bit about that, Gene.
The Marine Corps used Navajo Indians for radio communications because the Japanese could not break the code of the Navajo language. And they were very important as far as communications were concerned in the Pacific, in some of the operations in the Pacific. And Nicolas Cage made that movie about the Navajos, and I think it was Code Breakers, or I've forgotten the name of the movie, but yeah, they even actually made a movie out of that.
They certainly did. Now, when I was, I think they had more than one, because I know when I was a kid, I saw it, and it was really funny, because they had these Japanese that were listening in that knew English, and they were scratching their heads, thinking, you tell each other back and forth, and they were saying, what in the hell is this language? You never heard that before. But guys, I can't tell you how much I appreciate y'all being on the radio tonight. And before we leave out, I guess I've gone down too many rabbit trails. I was going to ask you guys, what can we do? Tell the audience what one man can do. I guess I'll go to General. What can one man do? What can a group do? Say, like seven men. I think they had seven man squads in South Africa before the communists took over. What can we do to resist this satanic takeover of our country and indeed the rest of the world? Because if you know, and this is the last thing I'm going to say, your uniform, like it or not, in this war is going to be your skin color. And back to you, General. What can we do?
Well, you both know this as soldiers. I think first and above all, leadership is the prime component. Someone has to lead. And you have to have units where leadership trickles down to the leadership initiative to the lowest level. So we started, we basically had no rank. We had squad commanders, platoon commanders, but rank came a month or two later because we had to do crash training courses. But you can learn a lot in just the basics of survival. I think the Canadian Army was 11 weeks basic training. AIT, Advanced Infantry Training, was 6 months. Legion was 4 months. But I think if condensed just the basics, weapon safety, weapons training, a soldier is basically three components make a soldier. Is technical knowledge, physical fitness, and tactical knowledge. So just keep it simple, stupid.
Yes, sir.
Those training manuals.
Yes, sir.
Too much. Connect them 2/3, and they'll be effective.
Well, thank you so much, General, and thank you so much, Gene. You guys, I can't tell you how crazy I am about you guys. I would follow you guys to hell. There's no place I wouldn't follow you guys. I love you like my true brothers, which you are. People, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. I hope you enjoyed our program. Thank you, Sam, for putting up with me. Thank you for producing an excellent program, Sam. Thank you, people, for tuning in. God bless you. We'll be here again next week, the 20th, and it will be the League of the South week Saturday got postponed. We'll have the League of the South on next Saturday. Good night, everybody.